89% of business leaders say AI is a top priority. But with AI tools popping up everywhere, how do you separate the helpful from the hype? The right choice is crucial, which is why teams at one-third of Fortune 500 companies use Grammarly. With over 15 years of experience building responsible, secure AI, Grammarly isn't just another AI communication assistant. It's how companies like yours increase productivity while keeping data protected and private. Designed to fit the needs of business, Grammarly is backed by a user-first privacy policy and industry-leading security credentials. This means you won't have to worry about the safety of your company information. Grammarly also emphasizes responsible AI, so your company can avoid harmful bias. See why 70,000 teams and 30 million people trust Grammarly at grammarly.com/enterprise. That's grammarly.com/enterprise. Grammarly, enterprise-ready AI.
Do you enjoy this podcast but wish you had more weekly short doses of insights and nuggets? Well, if you didn't know, I recently launched an email newsletter where you can join and connect with a community of like-minded young women around the world, also on the journey of personal growth. This weekly email includes everything from mindful insights and finds, tips on living well, relationships, my personal experiences, and a lot more. Subscribe to get your weekly email newsletter. The link is directly in this podcast episode show notes, or you can head directly to my website at emilyelizabeth.blog and you can sign up from there.
I'm Emily Elizabeth, and I'm the host of the What Fulfills You podcast, a show for and about individuals always seeking to be their best selves. On this show, we talk all about building the mindset, finding the right careers, creating meaningful relationships, and so much more. Welcome to the What Fulfills You podcast.
Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome back to What Fulfills You. My name is Emily Elizabeth. I'm your host, and hello and welcome if this is your first time tuning in. For today's solo episode, I am diving into the topic of the art of first impressions, how it impacts opportunities, and most importantly, the way you dress and speak and how it impacts you more than you know. So the reason why I wanted to get into this topic is because this was actually something that someone brought up to me in regards to the way I dress, the way I seem put together, the way I articulate my thoughts and all of that. And I want to really start this episode by sharing this. Sometimes it's easy to think that someone already has it, or maybe they were born that way, or they were naturally smart and all of that. For those of you who have not been longtime listeners and maybe never heard me share this through the grapevine, I was not a naturally smart or gifted kid, especially when it came to school. In fact, my first semester of college, believe it or not, I actually had a 2.7 or 2.8 GPA, to the point that I was put on academic probation in my sorority, which I was so stunned by. I was very embarrassed. And the reason why, it was technically my first quarter. So at the time I was going to this school, UC Irvine, and most UC schools, I think besides Berkeley, are on a quarter system. And so the quarter system, it's every 10 weeks, you know. And so my first quarter, basically, I had, I think, three classes that quarter. And I think I ended with like one A minus, one B minus, and one B plus, I think. I think that was, yeah, I'm pretty sure. And so I ended up with below a 3.0, okay, my first quarter. And I share that because I think, well, not only have some people alluded to this, but I have seen this myself, where sometimes when I was, especially when I was younger, it was easy for me to assume that someone was just already that way. And so for me, growing up, I also want to say I failed calculus in college, believe it or not. I failed and then I retook it in order to drop that grade, and then retook it and I got an A. And it really was not based on how smart I was or whatever, right? I actually just realized it was two things. Number one, I remember someone once told me that the most failed class at UC Irvine is calculus. That got in my head. And I remember I approached that class that way, assuming that I would, you know, possibly fail. Well, that was a mindset thing. Number two, because of all of that, I didn't apply myself in the same way. And so the second time I took it, I remember I was so adamant about, I'm going to get an A in this class. I'm going to do very well. I was paying attention. And I will admit that at the time I had a boyfriend that was also, he loved math. He was very good at it. He was a very sharp, you know, gifted, like he was the gifted one really, like in terms of academics and just overall intellect. He knew his shit. And I remember he had helped me better understand algebra calculus at the time. And so all of that was a culmination of what helped me actually get an A in that class once I retook it. All that to say, I also did not speak like this when I was in college or even after college, really. It took time for me to develop more interesting words to use and to say less ums and uhs, which of course I still say that. But I remember one of my friends, she graduated as valedictorian of her high school and then I think salutatorian at Pepperdine University. And she was just a girl that was naturally, again, I'm saying that, right? But a scholar, like that was her jam. And to this day, I always tell her when I speak around her, I feel like I sound dumb, you know? But trying to wrap up this point, it does make a huge difference when you learn how to present and hold yourself in a different way. And for me, one of the things that helped me improve the way I speak and the way I articulate words is night and day listening to other people speak, especially very intellectual and quality speakers. One of those people that I listened to since college was Tim Ferriss. He speaks and articulates in such a way that is sharp, again, intellectual, not to be repetitive, and you can just tell, like when he speaks, you trust the way he's approaching a question or a topic. And as with his guests, they all speak with this clear, distinct, I'm not a dipshit. Again, excuse my language, but I'm just, that's how I am. And I remember, like time and time again, I was listening to his interviews and Tony Robbins, Ray Dalio, again, several people that I look up to in the way they speak. I'm driving on the way to work or whatever I was doing throughout those years. And still to this day, I listen to these people in their interviews and the way they talk as I'm getting ready for dinner or as I'm doing my makeup, getting ready for the day, or I'm in the shower, I'm listening to them. So times all of those moments by the years. So I started doing this when I was 21 years old. So now it's like 6 years out, right? And now this is how I speak and this is how I've learned how to pause and this is how I learned stoicism and to process something and think about something before reacting. And again, I emphasize all of this because for those of you who are possibly in a position that I once felt that I was in, where you don't feel like you are at that level yet, or that you don't speak a certain way, or you're not as sharp or smart or gifted as your one friend or that friend's friend, whoever, I've been there. And that's why I'm saying that you can actually change this. You can actually evolve and grow into a person that is that, right? So for me, I wanted to become more of a articulate and thoughtful and intellectual and grounded speaker. And this is still a work in progress. And I'm so happy and grateful to hear it when people tell me and give me these compliments. And so that sometimes is a marker of, okay, I have improved. This is something that has improved for the past 4 years, right? But wherever you are at in life right now, if you want to know kind of my secret hack, it's easily that. For me, I've noticed when I copy or when I listen to the way someone speaks and they speak with, again, such a sharp intellectual tone of voice, however you want to describe it, when I hear them speak that way, it's also easier to copy or mimic the way they speak. I actually, funny enough, talked about this with my boyfriend because English is technically his second language, even though at this point he would say he's more fluent in English than he is in Spanish. He also was able to correct a lot of the way he spoke by listening to, actually one of the bonding points for us was that we listened to a lot of the same people, and that's how we changed the way we pronounce things, the way we formed our sentences, and that makes a big first impression. And so as you can see right there, I'm being honest about a real life experience. That bonding for us, I think, especially early on when we first started dating over a year ago, that enabled us to feel more connected or have a shared experience. And so something I always talk about when it comes to dating and friendships or all kinds of relationships is that you are often drawn and you're often attracting people that are in some shape or form in a similar level or bubble or sphere as you. And the way you speak is one of them. A really, really, really intellectual guy might be just simply more attracted to a girl that's kind of on par with him. And when I say intellectual, I'm talking like crazy, gifted, like you guys know what I'm talking about, like one of those, right? And all the kudos to them, you know?
89% of business leaders say AI is a top priority. The right choice is crucial, which is why teams at one-third of Fortune 500 companies use Grammarly. Grammarly is the right AI assistant for your team. With top-tier security credentials and 15 years of experience in responsible AI, Grammarly is how companies like yours increase productivity while keeping data protected and private. See why 70,000 teams trust Grammarly at grammarly.com/enterprise.
You're not for everyone. I'm not for everyone. And that's okay. But the kind of the theme of this topic is the fact that the way you speak, and I'll go in and talk about the way you dress later, but the way you speak, believe it or not, can be either a turn off or a turn on for people. And this is in work. This is in potential dating, this is in friendships, and of course, there is no black and white answer of you're gonna cut someone out because they don't speak in a certain way. It's not that, but I think in general, we all want to be around people that lift us up and helps us improve in some shape or form, and maybe that's not speaking. Maybe, for example, I have a girlfriend that I remember, a best friend from college. She made me want to be more toned and more fit and do certain workouts and lift. And her body is beautiful. It's amazing. She's so great. And I remember in college, I was like, oh my gosh, like, what are you doing? You know, like, I want to get there too. And so that helped me push forward. And that's the same thing when I think about my friend from a little bit after high school, the valedictorian, where I met her at my then job. I worked at Abercrombie and Fitch, and I remember, you know, being around her makes me want to speak more eloquently with more sharpness and more thought behind each word. And so that is something to consider when you are thinking about things you want to work on yourself going into the new year. I know this time of year, we're all kind of thinking about, okay, let's start to set up for the new year, but you don't have to wait for the new year to get there. You can start simply today and start building into the new year with this new practice. On the other hand, a big part of first impressions is how you dress and how you look. And I want to share a quick tangent, which is that a while ago, a girl from my alma mater, Chapman University, I had spoken there, and she had asked me whether I have felt any disadvantage or discouragement in the business world as a female. And again, I keep things extremely honest on this podcast, and I said this to her, and I said, to be quite honest with you, no, I have never felt, again, very fortunate to say that at this time, and because I know things were different many, many years ago, but I have always felt equally respected and encouraged and, you know, valued in whatever room I'm in. And I easily attribute that to two things. Number one, the way I present myself, and number two, which kind of correlates to presentation, the way I dress. And I said to this girl, you have 2 to 3 seconds to make a first impression. And so when I worked in sales, for example, if I'm walking into a store or walking into a room to meet an owner, to meet a decision maker, I saw time and time again, no matter who I was meeting, whether it was a woman or a man, if I was able to hold eye contact, shake their hand, dress very well in a way that makes them feel like they can trust me more, I was already halfway to getting the deal. This is just, to me, basic human psychology. There's also, I think, a level of truth when it comes to when someone dresses a certain way, we feel like we can trust them more. So a random example that came to mind, I also teach figure skating during this time of year. If I go on ice and I'm not dressed in a way that really kind of showcases that I'm a coach, that I know how to skate, that I know how to hold myself, that I know how to teach high level, because I notice there are differences with the way a certain high level coach dresses versus maybe a regular coach that doesn't have as much experience, or he or she can't teach a really high level skater. That makes a difference, especially from a parent's lens. When they're paying for these lessons and they're investing, they're looking at how does this coach dress? How does this coach talk? Do I trust this person with my child? You know, all of it is, to me, again, basic human psychology and almost like basic human like tendencies 101. I think we go back to elementary school. Again, we are more drawn to people that kind of dress the similar way, right? So I don't think these are taboo things to say. I think, in fact, these are things that you should take to your advantage. So if you are an aspiring businesswoman or entrepreneur or aspiring fashion designer, or you want to be in whatever industry, you got to ask yourself, are you dressed the part, right? Or another thing I would talk about with girlfriends, if you want to be in a room where you're attracting a certain kind of guy, what kind of place is he going to? And also, are you dressing that part, right? Like, if you want a guy that's I'll say today's lingo, like less of a fuckboy, and he's more, proper, a little bit more classy and refined. Again, these are through personal conversations of mine that I've talked to with other girlfriends. Okay, what do you think that kind of guy is most likely, not always, but what do you think he's most likely going to be drawn to or attracted to, right? How are you dressing? Are you giving opportunity where someone, if you walk by them on the streets of New York or wherever you are you giving a potential strong first impression where someone might want to grab you and ask you out on a first date? I mean, this happened to me when I was in Rome, Italy. Back in like spring 2023. So a while ago, I was single at the time, but I remember I was walking through Rome. I was there for 24 hours before meeting with my friend Elia, and I was eating gelato and I was walking and I was just so happy I was just like a little girl that was like so excited to be eating gelato in Rome for the first time. And I walked by this guy that did a double take on me, and you know, I think whatever I was doing, which was, again, just being naturally like happy and enjoying myself, and again, probably dressed a certain way too, that was, I love style. And again, if you guys follow me on my personal Instagram, you can tell that I'm very into like this minimalist Parisian French style. And so, of course, sometimes it's going to naturally attract a certain kind of guy towards me. And again, when I'm in a room speaking on the question that girl asked me, if I'm in a room where it's all men or all male investors, I've never been scared, I think, to be in front of them or that kind of scenario, because I know that at the end of the day, it comes down to respect. So do they respect you in that regard of whatever the topic is? So in a room where I'm trying to pitch my company, or in a room where I'm speaking about business, or let's say even more specifically social media or the media world, all those things, do I sound like an authority, number one, in that field? Number two, do I dress the part, right? Just like the skating coach analogy. do I look trustworthy enough in relation to the topic? And number three, do I hold and present myself in that way, regardless of how I dress and how I speak? Do I at least still hold myself and carry myself with this uncanny confidence? And that just takes time to build. But I will say that through dressing myself a certain way, again, all of which is very natural to me, dressing myself a certain way, speaking a certain way, all of those combined have helped me gain the opportunities to create a awesome, sustainable business, my marketing agency, Lost Hatton, but also to be able to speak on this podcast, to be able to live in New York and be an entrepreneur and be in certain rooms. And so wherever you are at right now and you are wanting to create a shift in the environments you're in and the opportunities that could come by you heading into the new year, think about this. Think about what are certain things that you're doing right now that might be hindering your opportunities or might be hindering your ability to make new girlfriends. And before I wrap this up, this also applies to not just how you dress and how you speak, but your energy. Meaning, are you closed off when you are at some Pilates workout or at the yoga class and you talk about how you're looking to make new friends or you want more like-minded women in your life? Are you energetically creating openness for that, though? Are you creating opportunity for other girls that also might be looking for that to come to you, to come up to you, to introduce themselves or to ask you, hey, Emily, you know, how often do you come here? Like, I would love to maybe get coffee the next time after Pilates, right? You have to think about that part as well, the energy side. That's something that we all just kind of feel with each person and each place and each environment. Sometimes it's also an energy thing, but if you can work a little bit on each area of your life, not just one thing, which has been my approach for several years, I think that can be very beneficial for you and how it leaves a first impression. That is all for today's short and sweet solo episode. I hope this topic was helpful and you found this useful and maybe got your wheels turning. If so, please be sure to let me know. I love when I get a chance to chat with you guys on Instagram or when you guys have been messaging me or sharing about how the podcast is a top one on your Spotify wrapped list. It means the world. And so again, please don't be a stranger. You can DM me on Instagram at What Fulfills You and at Emily E. Duong. Let me know your honest feedback on the podcast, your favorite topics. I know some of you have told me you enjoy the solo episodes and you would love to hear more of that. So I will be incorporating as much as I can throughout the rest of this month and going into the new year. Thanks again for tuning in today. I will chat with you all in the next episode.
AI of business leaders say AI is a top priority. But with AI tools popping up everywhere, how do you separate the helpful from the hype? The right choice is crucial, which is why teams at 1/3 of Fortune 500 companies use Grammarly. With over 15 years of experience building responsible, secure AI, Grammarly isn't just another AI communication assistant. It's how companies like yours increase productivity while keeping data protected and private. Designed to fit the needs of business, Grammarly is backed by a user-first privacy policy and industry-leading security credentials. This means you won't have to worry about the safety of your company information. Grammarly also emphasizes responsible AI, so your company can avoid harmful bias. See why 70,000 teams and 30 million people trust Grammarly at grammarly.com/enterprise. That's grammarly.com/enterprise. Grammarly, enterprise-ready AI.